You're now listening to Time Zone. Leroy J. Welcome to Time Zones with Leroy Jetstream. Okay, people, today's show's gonna be very brief. It's gonna be on a single topic. We're gonna be doing a review over Django Unchained by Quentin Tarantino. What he got right, what he got wrong. And if you know from other podcasts, I am a history major. And this movie has a lot to do with history, especially African-American history, on a very hard topic of slavery. So I'm going to go ahead and give you some a little more in-depth stuff about the slavery. I'm just going to go into the show. Now, before I go in, this is my show. My name is Leroy Jetstream. It's called Time Zones. And you can reach me on Twitter at Leroy_Jetstream. And you can also find me on Google Plus. Just do a search for Leroy Jetstream. Not hard to find. I'm the only one. No numbers, no anything. It's Leroy Jetstream. And that's basically it. And also, anybody listening, you know, I'm going to start doing interviews. So if you guys, if you're a producer, DJ, you're a writer, or if you're just a regular person with an opinion and you just want to talk sometime, you know, just hit me up on Twitter and we see if we can get something going. So we're going to go on ahead and say hello to the show. Okay. Now, first of all, I'll give you a quick synopsis of what Django Unchained is about. Django Unchained is basically a movie starring Jamie Foxx as the lead character, who is a slave who is saved by a bounty hunter who later decides to go and rescue his wife from a slave master on a plantation. So that's basically just the movie. Also, I understand I'm recording this. I guess it's my first New Year's recording, and well, the day after New Year's, on the 2nd. So I'm gonna try and keep this spoiler free because I know many of you guys haven't seen the movie yet. So I'm gonna keep this spoiler free for you. Okay, so that's the gist of the movie and the basis on it. And the movie has been kind of wrapped up in some controversy lately. Main detractor was Spike Lee. Spike Lee was upset. Usually Spike Lee and Quentin Tarantino, you can Google it, they have a rough relationship anyway. Spike Lee is not a fan of Quentin Tarantino, it's a fact. Basically, Spike said he's not going to the movie, and he's just not going because he feels it disrespects their ancestors of African Americans. And I mean, I guess I understand a little bit how Spike feels because I'm African American. And, you know, some people have said that Django Unchained is supposed to be like along the lines of the spaghetti westerns that Clint Eastwood was in, back in the day. And now Quentin Tarantino never said it. People online have been comparing and calling this a black western. In my opinion, that's wrong to call this a black western. Not saying there weren't any black people in black westerns. A great movie by Mario Van Peebles, which was called Posse, which, it talked about black cowboys and that culture a little bit. I mean, the characters are fictitious in the movie, but they are based on true account of people that probably lived in here. You know, Mario tried to touch on a lot of different topics in that movie. So, you know, if you want, you can check it out. The movie's been out for years. I think it came out in 1992, so it's been out for years. But anyway, back to Django Unchained. Let me finish up with Spike Lee first. Now, I do agree with one quote that Spike Lee said. No, it's not a spaghetti western. And let me repeat, Quentin Tarantino never said it was a spaghetti western. These are other people that said it's like spaghetti western. I agree with Spike on this one point. You can't call it spaghetti western because it's basically trying to lump slavery into being a spaghetti western. And you can't lump something like slavery into being a spaghetti western. Spike Lee's exact quote is, you know, he doesn't think of it as a Sergio spaghetti western to put slavery in that kind of light, that slavery was a Holocaust. Spike Lee is exactly right. I'll even go a step further and say not only was slavery is more than a Holocaust. I mean, there's nothing on the planet that was worse than the Atlantic slave trade of Africans, and then the domestic slave trade that continued with African American slave trade. After the Atlantic slave trade ended in 1808, then we had a domestic slave trade. And, I mean, that's the worst thing, you know, that could ever happen. So, kind of speaking on the domestic slave trade, that brings us into the movie. The first part of the movie is you see Jamie Foxx's character, who is Django, is in a lineup of slaves who are all chained and bound together, and they're all pretty much walking in a single file line, and they're walking where you don't know. Well, the first bit of that is once slavery ended in 1808, the transatlantic slave trade, the boom of domestic slave trade really took off. So what they were in was, you know, basically they would call that it was cattle slavery. Basically, some people call it caravan, and right now the name of escaping, but these lines of slaves would be walked from place to place and sold. So basically, slaves would all line up, they'd all be chained together like the chain gang, and they would all walk a certain line. Whenever the slave traders got to a town, get to a town, so they have some slaves for trade, and you know somebody go out and buy a slave. So I like one thing to address on this too, that back in this time, slaves were big business, so everybody who had money bought slaves. So there is documented facts, there are some black slave owners. Not that many, but there are some black slave owners. There are black Native American slave owners, just also along with the whites. I mean, it was just like it was a horrible institution. Some people know it as the peculiar institution, because it was a really strange institution. But I'm going to get back into the movie. So this is the time when Dr. George Schultz, who is the bounty hunter, who rescues Django from this chain gang of being a slave. And you know, the chain gang was pretty accurate. It was a couple of slaves usually marched, and about five or six of them usually male. They kind of have them separated, or whatever they could have, or whoever was strong enough to take the walk. They will pretty much walk slaves from town to town, and sometimes walk from state to state. So you know, he frees them from the situation. I mean, just to kind of go to show the bondage and the bondage and how horrible this institution was. There's a scene where Jamie Foxx's character throws off. He's kind of wrapped up in a little bit of a shroud or maybe a potato sack. I'm not quite sure it is. They're not wearing coats or anything. They're not wearing shoes either. So he takes off his shroud. He throws the shroud off, and you see all of the wet marks from when he's been beaten. And, you know, that's always a horrific thing to see. But, you know, that's some of the things that came along with being a slave. A lot of slaves were whipped and beaten, and you know, it's something kind of horrific to see, but to see him throw that off, you know, and, you know, the fact that even Jamie Foxx's character is a little bit terrified and scared in one scene, you know, when one of the men are hollering at him, and he's, you know, basically cursing at him, and Jamie's character is scared to do something about it at first when he figures out that this man really is helpless and he can't do anything to him. And that goes to show the brainwashing that went into slavery. You know, a lot of times the slaves were so brainwashed that they could have fought for their freedom, but they were just too afraid and too fearful, and you know, they had an inferiority complex placed on them. So now, you know, James was with the bounty hunter, and some things kind of happen in between. I don't want to give it away because I don't want this to be a spoiler, so I'm really sticking to some of the facts of what would have happened to slavery. So there's a scene where Jamie Foxx, well, I just refer to him by the character names on here, but anyway, there's a scene where Django and Dr. Schultz arrive at a plantation. And they arrive at this plantation. The reason I picked this scene out to kind of illustrate the plantation, and Quentin Tarantino sort of kind of did a good job on this. And the plantation owner, which is very hilarious to see, is played by Don Johnson. And they get there, and many of the people are pretty much taking off the fact that Django's character is not only riding on a horse, but he's also dressed very fancy and very silk and cotton and things of that nature. You have to see the movie to see how he's kind of dressed. And this is kind of a big point. And the reason I say this is a big point in the way he dresses is basically from Django is basically a runaway slave. And many runaway slaves, and you know, I'm going to back this fact up, this is according to the Runaway Slaves Rebels on the Plantation by John Hope Franklin and Lauren Schwarzinger. This book was published in 1999. This is basically, if you want to know anything about runaway slaves, this is the book for you, which is a wonderful book. This book is basically made up from the accounts of slave owners trying to retrieve their slaves from the articles. Basically, you will put an advertisement in the paper about I'm looking to get my slave back, and they will go through the descriptions. And what Mr. John Hope Franklin, Lawrence Fortune did is basically went through the descriptions and tracked down the slaves by their lives and basically filled in the blanks of what happened and also filled in the culture. So it's a wonderful book that explains not only what would happen to a runaway slave, but what the book really shows is the breakdown of just this peculiar institution of slavery. It shows that slavery was breaking down and was falling apart just due to the fact they tried to hide the fact that they had more runaway slaves than they would care to admit, and more other problems on the plantation. So there's a lot more, the definition of us running away from slavery was, especially based off this book and based how landowners felt, was a lot more than just running away from the plantation. If you didn't work, you woke up one morning and said, Master, I don't want to do no damn work. Let me first of all explain to you that when you're a slave, and this is one of my pet peeves, I'm going to go off on a tirade for a minute. I don't like when people in our time and age say that they're a slave or something. You cannot understand or even fathom what being a slave would be like. These people had no choice at all. We have choice. They had no choice. And also, they were a slave everywhere they went. There were a lot of slave laws that basically state if your mother was a slave, then you were a slave. And, there were so many laws where if you was a free black, you went to another, there was in Virginia, everywhere below the base of Dixon, if you're a free black. And usually, if you didn't have a white person with you or beside you, or if you get to a white person and say, yes, I know he's a free black person, even though you had your freedom papers, there's a good chance that you could be still brought back into bondage and put back into slavery. And there are many slave narratives on it. I think there's this one good narrative called My 12 Years Slave, where a guy was explaining he was a free man and he was placed back in bondage. And that's a good one. But there are plenty of narratives by free black people who were, placed in slavery or sold back into slavery. So I'm going to kind of get back to it. So we get the plantation and kind of get one thing. Django is introduced as a free black man. And there's a confusion with one of the slaves on how to treat Jamie's character. She says, well, how do I treat him, boss? And he said, do I treat him like a white man? And the plantation owner, played by Don Johnson, immediately says, no, you don't do that. And, it's a little confusing moment. She says, you don't treat him like that. And he goes through a whole tirade of how to kind of treat him. And, treat him like this town boy they have in town. Now, when you study history, I'm going to assume that this boy was a mulatto. And mulattoes, in some instances, mulattoes are just people who had mixed relations. That's it. They were usually black and white, or black with something else, maybe Native American, but they were not just complete, at least to the neck and eye, complete African, descent. So, that's one of those funny scenes in that movie to show you how being a free black was. And also in the movie, pay close attention that the reason why he even receives this particular treatment is because Dr. Schultz states that he is a representation of me, a white man. Basically, I'm placing my authority over to him. You treat him like you treat me. Things I told you before, most free blacks still needed a white person to basically sign off on them being free. To add merit to them being free, yes, he's free. I guess platform accreditation. I hear, yes, it's free. So, you know, we move on to that scene where you get to see the plantation. Now, Quentin Tarantino did a good job of kind of giving the plantation. Yes, plantations were horrible places, and they do have a scene where a slave is whooped for slight offenses. And he does do a good job of explaining one thing that a lot of people don't know. Many of the overseers with slavery were very ignorant in their own right. They were the only thing they had separating them from slaves was the fact that they were white. That was it. Many of them just as ignorant as the slaves. So the slave catchers on here were very ignorant. And also nothing like that Quentin Tarantino used. There's a scene where they have these nigger dogs. Nigger dogs were dogs that were specially bred to hunt down runaway slaves. And many times they would train these dogs in the same way they did in the old country when the dogs were trained to fox hunt. Instead, they trained the dogs with black people. Basically, so they would get a slave, and they would have the slave beat the dog and the puppy repeatedly to stop, and have the dog smell the slave's clothes, and have the dog be beat by slaves, and the dog has a natural hate toward anything black, and is able to track down that scent. And over time, certain breeds were created for, you know, just this one task. Since we have the bloodhound, and, you know, other breeds were created just to hunt down slaves. And these dogs are really bred by the Spaniards. You know, we truly owe the Atlantic slave trade to the Spaniards. They're the ones that came up with it first. But yeah, they're the ones that came up with it first. But, you know, they have that scene with the dogs. I'm not going to really explain about slave dogs, but they have the scene on the dogs. There's another interest in that part of the scene. But when you're a slave, you know, going back to when people say they're a slave here, we have a lot of opportunities now. Remember how to read, write, and do a lot of things. You can get all the information you want to have. See, slaves couldn't even get information, simple information. So a lot of times their parts is vocabulary that people, that white people could say that the slaves just cannot even fathom or get their head around, even, you know, it's stuff. So there's one scene where Leonardo DiCaprio's character, basically he's the slave owner that they have to try and get Jamie Foxx's wife, or Django's wife, back from the slave owner. Basically asks the slave the word reimbursement. It's very, you have to understand that this slave does not know what this word reimbursement means. He's basically taunting and picking at the slave, asking him what reimbursement means. You know, that part, you know, well, that was a sad part. It's like, wow, why are you messing with the slave like this about, you know, about reimbursement? He doesn't know what it means. And that's one of those things about it happening with a slave, is this information was withheld from him. A lot of things they didn't know, and you have to really admire the slaves and the people of that time for just being able to struggle and do what they could do. Now, there is the introduction of the Uncle Tom nigga play by Samuel Jackson. He does a great job. His name is Steven, and he's probably the most despicable Uncle Tom Negro, a nigga you will ever see. Also, I have heard other reviews and people somehow feel some kind of way about the word nigga. They don't like the word nigga in this movie. Now, the word nigga in this movie fits to me in the context of this time of history. So, the word nigga fits. People aren't walking around saying African American. And you also have to put this in context of this time. This movie takes place 2 years before the Civil War. Now, what happens, there was a big land grab where people moving out west, and you have Manifest Destiny in 1850. So, around this time, there came up with the, I guess, thing of the popular vote, where basically they were going to let each state have the state rights to vote if they wanted slavery. And this caused a lot of confusion, a lot of problems. And, you know, you have Lincoln, Kansas, a lot of things going on. That's another podcast for itself. But the main thing you should kind of understand around 1850, around this time, there's a time during the Dred Scott case where basically they said that the Supreme Court basically says that African Americans, because there were many African Americans there at that time, slaves had been in America for about four generations at this time. About two, maybe three generations at this time. They've been here a while because we were here from the start of the country. So they've been here a while. Basically, they said that African Americans, anybody of African descent, can't be Americans. Never been Americans, can't be. And this is a falsehood because African Americans served in all of the wars we had, even up to that time. All of them were in the Revolutionary War. They were in the War of 1812. And even though if you don't believe me, there is a battle at that time, General Andrew Jackson, called the Battle of New Orleans, where they had 500 freed black men fought in that war. So how could you say later on in, that was around 1812, how could you say later on in about 1850 that, you know, blacks are not, can't be citizens, they haven't even done anything in America. This is the world that African Americans and Africans lived in this world of slavery. It's not even be a human. You know, you're not even a citizen. You're given everything you have. You built this nation, but you're not even human. So kind of getting back into the movie, like I said, this is not the kind of review where I'm going to give anything away. So we're going to kind of move along into the movie. I'm going to get to one part. Is this movie a love story? Many people are arguing about that. Now, my personal opinion, no, it's not a love story. And it's not a love story to me because Quentin Tarantino, in my opinion, just didn't have time to really build up that kind of chemistry of love, in my opinion, between Kerry Washington's character and Jamie Foxx's character. Kerry Washington's character is called Brunhilde. And that's kind of a very important thing to know in that movie because Brunhilde's German and Dr. Schultz is German. So that's another thing. But like I said, I'm not giving away that much of a movie. So, I mean, he does. In Quentin Tarantino's defense, yes, I'm a fan. You know, people come like, oh, well, you're just kidding. No, I'm not. It's just not enough time. It's not enough time. You got to pick and edit and choose what you want to do. I'm not saying that he probably shot the scenes, but, you know, this movie was already kind of long. I liked it, but the movie was an hour and 21 minutes. So you have to figure out how to squeeze a lot of things in. There's a lot of things in there. So it's a lot of stuff to squeeze in. So that part, yes, he kind of fell short, but what can you do? You know. Now, there's another thing that he introduced in the movie, such as Mandingo fighting. I'm not going to really get into that part too much, but Mandingo fighting, I'll say that back with black people being slaves and being subhuman, that people treated us like property, and they did with us what they wanted to do. So they would make black people fight each other, usually to the death, because if you made the slave a damaged slave, just like damaging property. So basically, you know, they're like, this slave can't be fixed, he can't do nothing, he can't make any more profit. You know, they would just kill him. And not only that, but they have also been accounts that not only did they do that, but you know, back then they used black people for their forms of pornography and kill their sexual fantasy. We all know of the rape and of the mistresses that the slave masters have had. Also, some people don't know, as many slaves, women and men, were made to do sexual acts in front of the southern gentry aristocracy just for their entertainment. And that's one of those things where it's not illustrated in the movie, but where they meet at is a place called Club Cleopatra. This basically is a house of mistresses where the white men go and they're entertained and they do things such as gamble and have fun that way. You have to understand the society, you know, you had to go somewhere on the outskirts of town, go gamble, do these kind of things. That's something the good Christian people didn't do. So you had to go to the outskirts and go gamble. And, you know, he did a good depiction of that. How the women dressed and how they would basically be there to tend to these white slave owners, you know, needs. He doesn't get graphic, he just lets you see. I do like another scene where they're basically at Leonardo DiCaprio, whose name is Candy, and he has Candy Plantation. It goes through a scene, and this scene beautifully illustrates how slave owners had a hard time with even dealing with the fact that they had slaves and trying to figure out why slaves didn't rebel. And I like to add on a note that slaves did rebel, and if you want to learn about a couple of rebellions, you have the Stoner Rebellion. Yes, it will stop, but you have the Stoner Rebellion. You have the most famous one, which is the Nat Turner Rebellion. You can read his book, Confessions of Nat Turner. 60 whites were killed during his rebellion. And, it's very graphic and very brutal, and maybe a movie needs to be kind of made about that. People fussing about Django, about it not being Western. And my tip on that is, why don't you, somebody out there, direct the next question. Spike Lee's mad about that. Well, Spike, why don't you direct another Western, because there were a lot of black cowboys. There is no movie about Buffalo Soldiers. So why don't we have that movie about Buffalo Soldiers? And Buffalo Soldiers, amazing. Or more movies about African Americans in the service of the nation, African Americans in every war that America has been in. It would need to be a great one about the African Americans that were General Patton, that was with his tank force, and they fought, one of the best Nazi generals, Rommel. They fought him, so that would be a good one. So it's a lot of stories. But anyway, getting back to the story, I'm trying to keep this podcast short and sweet. Now we're back in here, and to make an excuse, many of the slave owners tried to say that Africans and African Americans were of inferior race, and tried to come up with scientific proof. And one of the popular things that he does in the movie is a science called phrenology. Phrenology was basically studying the knots and lumps in the skulls of a person to determine intelligence. And they believed in phrenology that pretty much the bigger the skull, the smarter the person was, which now we know in our time that this is not true, that the size of your skull does not determine your intelligence. But back then, this was a kind of a big thing. So we go into a whole tirade of, due to their skulls, they're inferior, and that someone has to govern them. And this falls into another thing that they had back then, which is called a white man's burden. A white man was burdened with helping these savages to become civilized and to come with the rest of the world, because they were primitive and they needed to find God and not die as a savage going to hell, but to go to heaven, be a slave here and to go to heaven. And many slaves did not fall for that. The ones that didn't fall for it later gave rise to the Methodist Church, the AME churches, which, they accepted Christianity, but they found that many of the other white followers did not accept them, and they wanted to treat them like second-class citizens in the church, when they had told them that, everyone is equal in God's eyes, but then you're going to treat us like a second-class citizen in the church. So, they did the only thing they could do. They left and broke off. And that's another podcast in itself, long podcast. But, we have, this scene, I'm not going to talk about how Django gets his wife back. Now, I am going to say that this movie does, to me, feel more like, let me get this out first. I like the movie. Whole lot. Love the movie. I give the movie a B+. On historical accuracy, it's so-so. I mean, it's pretty strong. It's about it a B, because Quentin Tarantino, you don't want to get with how graphic and how brutal it really was, because then the viewer would just be, they wouldn't be able to watch the rest of the movie, because all they would talk about was brutality that they saw. And he does kind of skim over some of the brutality, just the iron mask that people had to wear, collars. And I'll talk briefly about the collars. The collars were for runaway slaves. They were iron collars, used to be four prongs on the side with bells. These collars are very heavy. Collars usually weighed about 20-25 pounds. They would clamp them around the slave over their head, and this kept the slave from running away. It made it very difficult to run because he had bells around him. Plus, like I told you, the thing weighs about 20-25 pounds of iron, not steel, iron on your around your neck, and you're trying to run with this. It's hard to run and keep it balanced. They had the steel mask, and you'll see that scene with Jamie Foxx's steel mask and his face covered up with a mask, which, on a little historical tidbit, those masks were really created in the Caribbean where they were growing sugar cane. This was done to keep slaves from eating the sugar cane. So they had them wear these masks so they couldn't eat sugarcane. And then later they started using it as a form of punishment for the slaves. A lot of times it silenced the slaves. That was one thing a lot of slave masters liked, was the slaves really talk. So, historical viewpoint, he does a great job. And he keeps the comedy and the levity of the movie going. You know, you have to keep the comedy, you have to keep the movie going. It's one of those things that, like I said, if he grosses you out on the slavery aspect of it, and tries to really pull your heartstrings, you couldn't go the rest of it. Really plays out to me like a black exploitation. And you know, you have to understand Quentin Tarantino, he's a big fan of the movies, and there's nothing wrong with him. I'm a big fan of black exploitation movies. I love Sweet Facts, Badass Revenge. That's the best one of them to me, you know. And maybe I do a podcast on how that's the best one until you get to like Superfly. I love Superfly, but Superfly makes this distinction where now civil rights heroes and average guys who was trying to help in the neighborhood, now it switches over to them, the pendulum swings, and now the pimps and the dope dealers somehow become heroes. But, you know, that's for another podcast. So, move on. I like the movie. I give the movie a B. If you're a Quentin Tarantino fan, yes, it's a must-see. If you just want some entertainment, go on ahead, check out Django Unchained. And for all the people who are like, okay, it's not historical right now, it can't be. But if you really want to learn a little bit more about slavery, I'll tell you what, why don't you do this? Why don't you read a book? There are many books about slavery. I'm going to go on ahead and give you three. First book I already said in the podcast is Runaway Slaves, Rebels on the Plantation by John Hope Franklin and Lawrence Worsner. Great book. You picked up in the library. The book was published in 1999. I know you can find it. Another book by John W. Blasingame. He's also a graduate of the school I'm attending now, Fort Valley State. And he wrote a great book called The Slave Community, Plantation Life in the Antebellum South. It's a great book. This guy's accredited, professor at Harvard. I think he's passed away lately. Great book. It lets you in on everything. It lets you know everything about slavery, the culture, about them getting married. That's another topic, too. Well, I'll finish up another book. I'll come right back to what I want to say about that. Another book written by Dr. Larry Eugene Rivers, who's also the president, currently a president of my school. He just stepped down, but he's going to be our president all the way to June 2013. He wrote a book called Rebels and Runaways, Slave Resistance in the 19th Century Florida. This is a great book because many people believe that all the slaves ran away to the north. And this book is basically, yes, they ran away north, but really slaves also ran away to Florida. They never ran away to Florida, it gets to the Caribbean, and they get to South America. So this is a great book. Like I said earlier, if you want to know about a real rebellion happened with the Second Seminole War. Where basically the United States military was trying to come in, open up the land, the panhandle, and the mainland of Florida, we now know as Orlando, open that up to slave trade and also to help out protection of Georgia, to keep anybody else from going into Georgia, which was, you know, in the United States. And really open up for slave trade, open up slavery. Because at this time, Florida is in a really weird position through the land. It's not really a slave state, and there's a lot of weird things going on. But during this rebellion, like the book states, I would call it rebellion, is African Americans, African descent, known as the runaway slaves who became part of the Seminole tribes and Native American tribes, and other free blacks, fought off the United States military at that time, led by Andrew Jackson for about, two, three years, fought them off. And I guess it would be their form of Vietnam, I guess. It was a non-losing battle. And basically, they just quit and went home. But they fought them and outsmarted them for years. Government dumped money. And they just literally quit and got tired and went on to something else. Okay. And like I said, that was a great book. Now, one thing I would like to kind of say on this, and I'm going to keep this podcast very brief and short, is that know, the movie did try to bring, like I said, he missed the mark with doing a love story, but I do think it was a great point that he did bring that point, the fact that slaves wanted to be married, and slaves wanted families, and slaves wanted normal lives, and they wanted respect and dignity. And that's one thing that he does try to give Django, and kind of help the viewers know that's really what Django wants out of life. Is he just wants his respect and his dignity. You know, he wants to marry his wife, and his wife just wants respect and dignity to be left alone. And you know, that's one thing he kind of brings home, and you'll kind of figure it out at the end of the movie. Some people might say he's showboating, but I don't think so. And you know, it's kind of a sad state where, you know, now in our time and age, you know, people don't really want to get married at all. Especially, I hate to say it, but kind of the stats are kind of high for African Americans not wanting to get married. It's kind of sad because in this period of time, you couldn't get married, even if you wanted to, because slaves were property, and property can't get married. This is how it really was. And then you had a person literally dictate your life. You know, the master said when you could get married and when you couldn't get married. So, you know, that was just one of those things. So, like I stated, I enjoyed the movie, you know, immensely. I probably add it to the collection, and I give, you know, the movie a B+. And, you know, Quentin Tarantino did a good job. Jamie Foxx is great. Really, the whole cast, everybody does a great job, because it's a hard topic to do, and it's hard to try and give slaves some humanity. And then it's hard to make a movie about slavery that, you know, it doesn't just, you know, you have to put action, you have to put a little bit of levity to it. It's a hard movie to do that, especially without trying to alienate, you know, one, you know, part of the audience. You know, you don't want to alienate white people to come out, because white people have no responsibility, you know, in slavery and things that happened back, you know, then people that's living now. I don't want to get on that. That's another topic. I'm just saying that they don't own any slaves personally. None of us can relate to the people from that time. Nobody here can understand how a slave felt back then. No more than a slave can understand how we live now. Mostly, how a slave probably can't even understand how we don't even take advantage of a lot of the opportunities as African Americans that we have. But, you know, I'm not going to get on my soapbox. I'm going to go ahead and end it there. I give Django Unchained a B+. Check out those books if you really want to learn a little bit more black history. My name is Leroy Jetstream. This is Time Zones. If you want to catch me, go ahead and catch me on Twitter. @Leroy_Jetstream. And you can also find me on Google+. So go on and hit me up if you're a writer, DJ, producer, artist, interesting person, or you're just a person that has an opinion. You know, hit me up on Twitter. I love to interview some people. And I'd like to say peace to everybody for listening to the show. And thanks for listening.